Today in the church we celebrate Good Shepherd Sunday, which the connection is pretty easy to make. The gospel today from the Gospel of John is the beginning account of the Good Shepherd Discourse, where Jesus identifies himself as the Good Shepherd. And all throughout church history, Jesus as the Good Shepherd, that image, has really stuck close to Christians. Some of the earliest icons and depictions of Jesus going back to the Roman days is Jesus as the Good Shepherd with a lamb over his shoulders. And even today, even though our personal experience isn't closely connected to shepherds per se, we still, I think, identify very well with Jesus as the Good Shepherd, because it's a very relatable, I guess, title that we give him, or that he identifies as. For me, in my life growing up, I grew up on a dairy farm for the first like 10 years of my life. And I still can remember to this day my dad calling out to the cows like to come in when it was time to be milked. And his voice could actually soothe the cows and it would calm them. And my dad would always say that whenever like a hired hand would come, or if we ever had to have someone new come to milk the cows would actually be more unsettled and they would not be at ease, because they could tell that it was a different person who was there in the barn. So even today, it's not sheep, but we still have, I think, close encounters with the relatableness of a human being to an animal and how they do recognize the shepherd's presence. And they don't just recognize the shepherd's presence, but they recognize his voice. The voice of the shepherd, that's been something that has really stood out to me this week when reflecting on this gospel. Just how the sheep recognize the voice of the shepherds. And Jesus said that the shepherd goes out in front of the sheep, and they recognize his voice. But the strangers who have come before him, the sheep actually run away from his voice. They run away from the voice of a stranger. I had an unfortunate encounter with this experience actually just last night. I was at a wedding and I experienced a stranger running, or me being a stranger in front of someone and them running away from my voice. So let me explain. I was at a wedding and I was at the dance, and everyone knows that, at least most priests know that, you don't dance very often at wedding dances. You know, I used to swing dance, but I don't swing dance anymore for obvious reasons. But everyone wants to see the priest at least get out once on the dance floor, because they can look back on the dance and say, like, man, everyone was dancing. Even the priest was dancing. So I was talking with someone, and then there was a line dance song that came on. So I decided to go out onto the dance floor. I was being courageous and bold. And I was trying to find, like, my group, the people that I knew on the dance floor, to, like, go do the line dance next to them. And I couldn't find them. And then finally, I caught sight of someone who looked like my friend, one of my friends, from the back. So she had long black hair, and it looked like one of my friends. So I went up, and I was trying to, like, jump in line to the line dance. And so I tried to, like, make myself known and, like, have her make room for me. And it's kind of an inside joke amongst us, this friend group. But I just, like, walk behind her, and I just say, "Hey, girl," and the girl turns around and it's not my friend at all. And I was wearing a collar and it was extremely embarrassing. She didn't run from me, but I was the one running from her. And I'm not even joking, the exact moment that this happened, there was a priest who was there who was talking with another one of our friends, and the friend was telling this priest, like, "Man, it seems like Deacon Peter is really matured and, like, he's really ready to be ordained." That actually was happening at the same time. You couldn't script it any better. So that's not what the Good Shepherd does. She did not recognize my voice for obvious reasons. But a Good Shepherd is recognizable. The sheep know him. So to provide a good example of this, I want to talk a little bit about Blessed Stanley Rother. He is, in my mind, a perfect example of what it means to be a Good Shepherd. On Friday, a lot of us from St. Peter's went down to Oklahoma City on a pilgrimage to his shrine. And I've been there before, so I wasn't really expecting to have, I don't know, a great experience there, because I've already been there. But it was actually really impactful to go back even again and to just pray with his life and his story. He truly is a good shepherd, and he died being a good shepherd. But his story actually begins, you know, from an early age when he was a kid, when he noticed a call to the priesthood. And so before he was a shepherd, he was a shepherd by Jesus himself. His pursuit of his vocation to the priesthood was him just following the voice of the Good Shepherd. And this led to him going to seminary, even though he struggled in seminary. He couldn't make the grades. He really struggled with just the structure of seminary. But eventually he was ordained. And soon after he was ordained, he went down to Guatemala to serve the missions in Guatemala. And soon after he was sent down there, a revolution broke out in the country where the people were revolting against the government and vice versa. And the church, as she usually always does, stood for the people and individual persons. So the government, therefore, persecuted the church and her priest in Guatemala. So it wasn't too long until Father Stanley Rother's name was on a death list in Guatemala by the government. And at that point, his bishop asked him to come back home because he wanted him to live and survive. And so Father Stanley came back home, but soon after he was home in Oklahoma, he just realized that this is not where he was called. He was called to be with his people in Guatemala. And he was even speaking with his father at home when he told his dad that the shepherd does not run when the wolves come. The shepherd does not run when the wolves come. And so he knew deep down that he was called to be down in Guatemala. And so he went back knowing that his name was on a death list and knowing that he was going to go meet his death eventually. And about 6 months after he went back to Guatemala, he was shot in his room in the middle of the night. And I've been to Guatemala where he actually was as a priest. I've been to the parish where he was, and I've been to the room that he died in. And it was really powerful when I was there to experience just the faith that is still very much alive in that parish. And his sacrifice as a shepherd, protecting his flock, is still paying off today, 50 years after his death. And so he first was shepherded by Jesus, but then he became the good shepherd. And this is the story of a lot of our vocations. In order for us to provide and to be a shepherd for different people, we first have to be shepherded by Jesus himself. And that's the story of my vocation and many vocations to the priesthood, I think. Today is known as National Vocational Awareness Day, whatever that means. But it's given that title on Good Shepherd Sunday because Jesus as the Good Shepherd closely relates to being a priest. And what I love about Father Stanley's story is how he knew that. So I just want to give a little word of encouragement to people who are still discerning their big vocation. We all have different discernments in our lives to ask, like, what's the next step with my relationship with Jesus? But we all have to discern our big vocation of how is the Lord asking me to give my entire life to him? And I remember as a kid, our parish priest growing up would encourage vocations, you know, in his homilies and even in passing frequently. And it truly was impactful for me. And it reminded me of just the necessity to ask the Lord, what are you asking for me in my life? So I do encourage all young men and women to seriously ask that question and to not be afraid of perhaps the answer. For me, I always knew I should be a priest. I always knew that I was called to be a priest, or at least I had that desire. But it wasn't really until seminary and further into seminary that I experienced the call of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. Because I always had a desire to be a priest, and I always thought, like, I should go to seminary. But sometimes I viewed that as almost a cross of, like, well, I guess I should do this for Jesus. The truth is, Jesus does not need me to be a priest. He could do probably better without me sometimes. He doesn't need me to be his priest. But the reality is that he wants me to be his priest. And just like he wants all of us for particular roles in his church. And so into seminary, after some time, after it took some of him grabbing me by his staff by the neck and saying, like, what are you doing? I experienced the call of Jesus as the Good Shepherd, where I actually realized what Jesus is inviting me into to be a priest is truly abundant life. Other things that I thought I wanted were actually just from the robbers. They weren't satisfying. There wasn't deep peace. But the call of the vocation to the priesthood was truly abundant life. And so I just share that with you all, just one for an encouragement for people who are discerning. And if you feel a call to the priesthood or religious life, I challenge you to take that seriously and to trust that the Lord truly has our best intentions in mind. And that people oftentimes are asking me, especially these days, you know, how does it feel that you're just so close to ordination? And so I've been thinking about that and reflecting on just that question a lot recently. Like, what does it mean that I'll be ordained a priest in 4 weeks? And for me, the best answer that I can give, because words are hard to describe just the depth of it, but the best answer I can give to how I see my vocation is, it truly is a gift and a mystery. Our vocations in life are gifts and mysteries because, one, it's a mystery because we don't fully understand it. We don't deserve it. It's a gift. And I didn't realize that until later on in seminary. And I'm grateful that the Lord in his providence brought me to that point where I was able to receive that truth. And so today is a good day for all of us to remember, even if we're in a vocation, to go back to the day when we entered into that vocation and recognize that what Jesus has invited us into is it's not supposed to be a heavy burden. It's not supposed to be a cross, but it's meant to be a source of abundant life. And yes, there are difficulties and small crosses in our vocations, but all of those are supposed to be paving the way towards abundant life. And then finally, I just again encourage any young men and women to take this call seriously and to discern what is Jesus inviting me into in my life. Because the truth is, there is no abundant life outside of Jesus. And so I pray that all of us may further believe that in our lives today, but every day make that commitment anew to give our life to Jesus, the Good Shepherd.